Again, that verse I read was in Proverbs, talking about a merry heart. The title you see in there is Keeping a Healthy Spirit. How do we do that? We have a merry heart. It does good like a medicine. I like to laugh. I think it was Friday night. We were over at Leonard and Candy's. And anything I tell you right now probably wouldn't be that funny, but it was hilariously funny at the time. And all of us have experiences like that when you just start laughing and you can't stop. And when it's all over, your face hurts because you laugh so much. I know you all think of me as kind of down and depressing, but I do like to laugh too. So encouraging laughter is a good thing. Being merry. God tells us to be merry. One thing that always makes me laugh is bloopers that happen at churches. Dad talks about church signs, so I thought I'd talk about some church bulletins bloopers that if they sound kind of funny, if I can read them and we'll figure out if they're funny or not. This is an announcement in the bulletin. At the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, What is Hell? Come early and listen to our choir practice. It's all right to laugh in church. Come on, last week we had a tractor and I was wearing overalls. All right. A new loudspeaker system has been installed in the church. It was given by one of our members in honor of his wife. The sermon this morning, Contemporary Issues, number 3, Euthanasia. The closing song, Take My Life. Okay. Church rummage sale, a good opportunity to get rid of anything not worth keeping, but too good to throw away. Bring your husband. This is a good one. A low self-esteem support group will meet Thursday at 7 to 8:30 p.m. It's for low self-esteem. Please use the back door. The pastor will preach his farewell message. None of these happen in our bulletin, by the way. The pastor will preach his farewell message, after which the choir will sing, Break Forth into Joy. The peacemaking meeting scheduled for today, peacemakers, has been canceled due to a conflict. Announcement in the church bulletin, there's an announcement for a national prayer and fasting conference. The cost for attending the fasting and prayer conference includes meals. Fasting and drink, okay. Anyway, and this one is my type of humor. I don't know if you'll enjoy this or not. Missionary from Africa speaking at Calvary Memorial Church. Name, Bertha Belch. Announcement, come tonight and hear Bertha Belch all the way from Africa. So I do like to laugh. And many of us, we might find different things funny, but everybody likes to laugh. And the Bible speaks a lot about being cheerful, about keeping a healthy spirit. Those two verses I read, merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Our countenance is our face. What represents how our heart or our spirit is behaving is our face. That's how we tell other people how we're feeling. That other verse, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is a merry heart is of a merry heart, hath a continual feast. And a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. But a broken spirit drieth the bones. I did a little Greek study, believe it or not. The word spirit, ruach, is the word, and it's from the word that means wind, by resemblance, breath. So, everything we have in life comes from God, right? God gives us the oxygen we breathe. God gives us the air we breathe. God gives us the food we eat. God gives us the world we live on. He created it. And the first thing that God gave to man is found in Genesis, when God formed Adam. So, Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. So God gave us that spirit. God gave us that breath. How we use it is up to us, but it was a gift from God. The Bible talks about in Proverbs, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. So the book of Proverbs and the entire Bible talks about our spirit, how we control our spirit. And there's a few types of spirits listed in Proverbs. One of them, you don't have to turn to these, but there's one in Proverbs 11. It says a talebearer, or someone that tells tales or gossips, revealeth secrets. But he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. So it talks about a faithful spirit. A faithful spirit, it means to build up and to support. And this is something all of us need to have, but it's something that someone who's prudent, someone that's wise and can guide others, he has a faithful spirit. He knows the things to do in order to show other people how to encourage them. So not only for our own spirit, but for others as well. The Bible talks about a faithful spirit, how we can encourage, how we can build up and not tear down. The Bible talks about a hasty spirit, again in Proverbs chapter 14. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. So there's an opposite there, slow to wrath, someone that takes their time before they get mad. You know, if they do get mad, they have a good reason for it. Or a hasty spirit is someone that is quick to react. Talk about having, your feelings or having a chip on your shoulder and waiting for people to pick a fight with you. Another verse in Proverbs, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. That word breach talks about a fracture or a break, something that's wrong with your spirit that won't allow it to be what God wants it to be. It's like shattered, crushed, or ruined. Something's happened to a healthy spirit, and it's become unhealthy. So how does that happen? How does our spirit become unhealthy, and then what do we do to keep it healthy? A lot of it is how we react to things. Again, I'm going to go to my illustration here. Somebody saw my helium up here and thought I was going to try to sing like Mickey Mouse, but not today. Maybe next week if we have another strange Sunday. But we talked about how God gives us his breath, and what we do with it is up to us. But the first thing I want to notice is that our spirit's a gift from God. So what we do with our spirit's up to us, and I'll use a balloon to represent our spirit. First thing I'm going to do is blow it up with my breath, which I had coffee today, so it's extra bad. But if I put my spirit, if I put my words and my truth into this spirit, or if I take my words and my truth to another human being, what I believe, not what the Bible says, but what I think is true. I think green's my favorite color. You know, some sports teams are stupid and some are not. I have opinions that aren't based on the Bible, you know, and they're just my opinions. If I try to give you my opinions, I'll give you something for your spirit, but you won't do much with it. You'll probably fall, I mean, because it's just my spirit. That's not going to help you. Now, I can build up your spirit. I can help you build up your spirit, but in order to get what you need to go to God. So I'm going to use helium to represent God's spirit. When we go to the right source, the point I'm trying to make is we can fill our spirit with different sources. We can go to God where we should go. We could go to God for truth, and he can let us reach our potential. So how do we reach our potential? If we go to God and fill our spirit with his truth, with God's word, with the things you learn in church, with the things that a fellow Christian tells you out of the word of God, and our potential is reached when we fill ourselves with God's spirit. And we'll say the auditorium, the ceiling represents God's will, the limits of God's will, what we can do with our life. So we'll go to the very top. Now, if we fill ourselves with man's spirit, with man's words, that, again, the very beginning of the Bible, Adam and Eve in perfect harmony and perfect, you know, everything with nature in the Garden of Eden. How did Satan get Adam and Eve? He questioned the word of God. He went to Eve and said, "Hath God said?" God had commanded them not to eat of one tree of the garden. And the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And he said unto the woman, "Hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." So Eve knew what God said, and the serpent questioned God's words. So when we begin to question God's word, that's when we begin to hurt our spirit. When we say, well, God's word is good, but it's not the only source of knowledge, which God's word is the only source of knowledge. When we turn to other things for help, we take away some of our potential. If I filled a balloon with half of my breath and half of helium, sometimes it'll just float in the middle. And it's not reaching its potential, what it can do, and under the canopy of God's will. So we should go to the right source. It should be God's word. It shouldn't be man's ideas. I mean, a man can have an idea based on God's word, and a lot of times you'll find that. If a man has a teaching that is successful and it works, it's usually found in the truth of God's word. But then that spirit that we have, we should protect it. Protect yourself from those that would harm your spirit. That first verse I read in the scripture reading, talking about a broken spirit. When we attack each other, when we say, you know, we attack each other how we look. I taught this to the kids, so I talked about brothers and sisters fighting. But we are all spiritual brothers and sisters. When we fight, we have the ability to attack each other's spirit. So we take a little nick out of each other's spirit. Maybe our words aren't what they should be. The Bible talks about in James the power of the tongue. The Bible says, James chapter 3, "But the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God." So when God made man, he formed man in God's image. God formed man in his image. And James here is saying, when we bless God and say, "God, you're wonderful, you're perfect," and then we turn to man, who is made in God's image, and say, "You're the scum of the earth, I hate you," that's still coming from the same tongue, and God says it shouldn't be that way. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. So the power of our words, it's not a gun, it's not a sword, but our words can destroy our spirit, our ability to hold the truth that God gives us. We might have the most excellent source of error, of something that's going to improve our lives, inflate our balloon, and make us reach our potential. But if our spirit is broken, I can pump air or helium or whatever I want into this, it's not going to hold. So be very careful of your spirit. Guard your spirit. The Bible says guard your heart. Don't let others tear you down. Don't let the facts of life tear you down. Keep a healthy spirit for God. One way is laughter. One way is being having a merry heart. But remember the power of words. And then remember, protect each other's spirit. The Bible talks about not being a stumbling block. The Bible talks about doing what's right for your brother's sake. Not even if you don't think it's wrong and the Bible doesn't even have anything about it that's wrong. But if your brother would stumble because of what you've done, the Bible says not to do it. So that's how we protect each other. And then another thing that keeps us from doing what we should do is the weights in our life. How do we reach our potential? Well, we lay aside the weights. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us." So I'm going to fill up another balloon with going to the right source, going to the Word of God and God's truth, and then I'm going to attach what many of us have, and those are the weights. The weights that beset us. I have weights from normal weight you'd see on a balloon that has a smiley face on it. And that's the truth about a lot of things in our life. They look happy. They look like something that we could use that would make us better, but they're really weights that beset us and hold us down. One of those is criticism. We just read that verse about the tongue, how we cannot tame it. It talks earlier in James about how there are great ships, and the greatest of ships is controlled by a little rudder, a little thing that steers the whole ship, and that's how our tongue is. And we decide through our words and through our actions what we do. So when we criticize others, that's a weight. It's a weight we don't need, but it's a weight that many of us have. So there's a weight of criticism. There's a weight of worry. There's a weight of bitterness. Bitterness is when we hold a grudge against someone. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down." A verse talking about encouraging our brothers and sisters. "Lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, and let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." So the Bible says not only should you not be bitter, make sure you're looking out for your brothers and sisters. Make sure that they're not getting bitter. Make sure that you're doing everything you can to keep their spirit, to keep their heart the way it needs to be. And I think that applies for everyone. I know it applies for me. I know it applies for everyone I've met in life. It's very, very, very easy to get bitter and to get angry and to say, that's not right, that's not fair, it shouldn't happen that way. But the Bible says that those are one of the besettings, one of the weights that keeps us down, one of the weights that keeps us from reaching our potential. Another one is our besetting sins, our pet sins. Dad talks a lot about that. I teased him last week. He was saying, I'm not going to tell you mine. And I said, come on, preacher. I never respond to that kind of thing, but I wanted to know what it was. And we all have a besetting sin. We all have something. A besetting sin is something that you do and you know it's wrong, but you're going to do it anyway. You've kind of told God that that one doesn't apply to you, and he just needs to understand that's how you are. And a besetting sin is something that we do when we, despite the consequences, we still do it. The Bible says in Romans, "For the good that I would, I do not." One of the most confusing passages in the Bible. Paul talking about he wants to do right, but he continues to do wrong. The good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, I do. I don't do right, I do wrong. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more that I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am. This is Paul, and this is after his conversion. Paul wrote most of the New Testament, and he didn't say, O wretched man that I was. He said, this is what I am right now. I'm still having this battle every day, fighting against the bad and trying to do good, but fighting the sin. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So whose law are we serving today? There's an old story about a man said he had two dogs inside him fighting, a good dog and a bad dog. And another man said, well, who wins the fight? And he said, it's whoever I give, whoever I feed, whoever I give the strength to. So Paul describes that battle. He says there's the bad things in life, and there's the good things in life, and there's your flesh. We're all born sinners. Each of us, because of Adam and Eve, and because I always thought, well, what if Adam and Eve hadn't done something wrong? I think eventually sin would have found man. But the point of it is we are all born into sin. We have a nature of sin that we're born into. And God has a deliverance for that. And we as Christians, if we're saved, if we've accepted Christ as our Savior, then he has a way to do good, a way to change our nature. The Bible talks about the old man and the new man. And if we put on the new man, we can fight that sin. But whose law are we serving today? Are we serving the sin, the wrong? Are we serving the bitterness and the hatred of other people? Are we serving the selfishness of our own lives or the besetting sin, the selfishness of that? Or are we trying to serve God? Why do we worry? Worry is a weight that we don't need. Why should we worry when we can trust God? Worry is like a rocking chair. It's a quote I got. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but doesn't get you anywhere. And only when we give our weights to God can we reach our potential. And a lot of us probably never see a Christian who has fully reached his potential. I guess it is possible, but most of us see a Christian that has weights attached to them. So we have the weight of criticism, we have the weight of worry, we have the weight of the besetting sin, and maybe there's more. You know, I obviously don't have them all here. Maybe there's something in your life that you know is keeping you back from doing what you should do for God. Maybe that weight in your life isn't any one of these. The weight in your life might be the weight of sin that you've never given to Christ. There is a time in each of our lives when we need to accept Christ as our Savior. As a Christian, that's what it means to be a Christian. It means that Jesus came to this earth and he died on the cross to pay for our sins. And that's, again, man's wisdom says, well, man's getting better and better. Look at the great things we've built. Look at the great things we've done. We don't need a God. That's man's wisdom. But the source of knowledge is the Bible, and God says that we're all sinners. And we all know we've done something wrong. The Bible says the wages of our sin is death. There is a penalty for our sin. And that weight in our Christian life that holds us down is just a temporary thing. Eventually, whether or not we ask God to get rid of it, we will go to heaven. But as an unsaved person, that weight that holds us down is the punishment of hell. And Jesus says, I cannot pay that unless you ask me to, unless you take the gift I'm offering you. I can't pay for that weight. I cannot cut that string that's holding you down. I can't take away that burden from you unless you ask me. So that's what we need to do. We need to ask Christ to take away our burdens. As Christians, it's a daily thing. As an unsaved person, if we've never done that, we've never said, Jesus, I give my sin to you. I know I'm not a perfect person. I know I'm a sinner. I know that you died for my sin, and I accept your gift. I'm trusting you. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I don't know what that weight is in your life. I don't know. I know some in my own life that I need to get rid of, but I don't know what it is in your life. Maybe you're not saved today. Maybe you didn't plan on getting saved today, but the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. I am a procrastinator. I like to put things off, but I'm glad I got saved when I found out what Jesus did for me. And you never know if you'll have another chance. You never know that, you know, you can say, well, this is the worst sermon I've ever heard. I can't believe I came, and I can't believe I'm still here, but this might be your last opportunity. It might be the one that God uses to just say, you know what, any man, any person can stand up and tell you it's still truth. It still comes from God. And God says, if you accept his son, he'll give you a home in heaven. So if that's the weight in your life, that's the first one you need to handle. And then you can get a new spirit. If someone has torn you apart, if you've torn yourself apart, like I showed you with that balloon, and you can't hold the truths of God, the Holy Spirit will quicken your spirit. God gives us a new spirit. He says his mercies are new every morning. I like that because that means if I get to the end of the day and I say, I don't even know how I'm going to go on. Well, when I get up the next morning, God has new mercies for me. And God can give you a new balloon. God can give you something to hold his truth. And God can let you reach your potential. You can take away those weights. That first weight, if you're not saved, get rid of that weight of sin. Give that to God. But and everyone says amen. They're, all the people that are saved says that are saved say amen and say, I'm glad I did that. Well, we have other weights. We got saved, we got free, and then we went and picked up some more weights. So for the saved person today, there are weights in your life that you don't need. And they're holding you down and they're keeping you from reaching that potential that God has for you. And so many of us have been weighted down so long, we don't even see the potential anymore. We don't even say, what can I do? You know, you don't even want to know what God has for you. So that first thing you say, God, I don't even know what you have in store for me, but I want to be available to do it. So get rid of those things in your life, and you'll be glad you did. And it's not a choice that you should take lightly. There's a lot of things in life that we do without thinking about it, and I see it more and more today. It seems that materialism and money and position in life are so much more important than family or making sure your kids turn out right or having that relationship with God. So many times we put a television or clothes or stupid things, we put that in front of God, and there are priorities in life. And maybe that's your weight. Maybe you just have the wrong priorities in life. But go to God. Ask him to set you straight. Ask God to tell you what you need to do in your life and set aside those weights. Because it's not just you reaching your potential. It's you sharing that Spirit of God. Now, I can't illustrate it here with a balloon. But as we take God's Spirit, and as the Bible talks about, he gives us new mercies every day and he gives us what we need, we are to share that Spirit with other people. And it's not the words of men, it's the words of God. So as long as I'm sharing the words of God with other people, I can help them reach their potential. So I should make sure I'm not cutting them down. I should make sure I'm not attacking their spirit. And then I should say, God, give me your words, not just for myself, but let me pass them on to other people. There's a verse in Proverbs that talks about a honeycomb, how sweet it is, and that a person that eats so much of that sweetness and doesn't do anything with it, it doesn't share it, it becomes bitter to them. I can't remember the way it's worded, but the bitterness of something very sweet. So we have something wonderful with God. But when we weigh it down with our besetting sins and our criticisms, and we make it into a bitter thing, we don't even realize how good we have it. And we don't even want to share it. You say, why would you want my life? I'm tied down and I can't move myself. But when we have the Word of God and take away all the other junk, then we can share it with other people. And that's how what we each need to do. So again, if you're not saved today and you need to be, if you're not saved today and you still have that weight, that's the most important thing. Get rid of that sin. Get rid of those things that make you feel guilt. Don't worry about it. Don't obsess over it. Don't make it your lot in life to be depressed over it. Bring it to God. Give it to Jesus. If you are a Christian today, which most of us I think are, then continue to give those weights to Jesus. And before you turn around, there'll be another one. But make sure you give those things that beset you, give them to him. And it's not just so we can, you know, float on the ceiling and have a museum. Everybody can come and see how wonderful we are. It's so we can help other people. So we can take the truth of God's word and share it with others. And if we don't do that, we're not reaching our potential. We're not doing what we should do. So I'd ask everyone to bow your heads. Another thing about me is I get done early, but I'd like everybody to bow your head. And with this time I've given you, both you'll have an extra 10 minutes today. I'd like you to sit either now or when you get home and just say, God, I know my priorities aren't straight, and that's true of everyone. But and say, God, I know there are weights in my life. I'm not reaching the potential you have for me. Some of us today, maybe we do have that weight of sin, unconfessed to God, that weight of trusting ourselves, of not trusting in Christ to take us to heaven. We've never admitted to Jesus we're a sinner. We've never asked him to save us. If that's you today, I ask you to come forward. We can show you from the truth of God's word, not man's opinion, not a Baptist opinion, but the truth of God's word. We won't ask you to join the church. We don't ask you to do anything except accept what Christ has given you. And I ask that you do that today. If you come forward for that reason, that'd be great. If you need to come forward for any other reason, just to thank God for the potential he has given you and to help ask him to help you see what you can do for him. So as we sing, let's all stand, turn over to number 390.